Gotcha. Give mind to the things you've tried. I'm the one that can satisfy you.
Welcome to Notcast, episode 183, Spaghetti Cyclone. Oh. Ah, there we go.
God, we're calling it Spaghetti Cyclone, really?
It's in commemoration of something that's happening this weekend.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yes, the oceans of spaghetti will plunge New Jersey and New York City into chaos.
Oh my God, I love you.
There will be spaghetti containment failure all over.
Can I lick your face and siphon off some of your creative juices? I see you're sweaty. Can I lick it off you?
I have a life-size plushie just of your character.
Yeah.
Did you know Bad Dragon sells pony?
Could you sign my Bad Dragon bear toy?
Oh my God, if they did that to like Andrea Libman, she would curl up and die.
You made Fluttershy cry.
Oh God.
Oh my God.
Either it'll go well or it'll be a debacle for the ages. We'll find out.
Oh my God. If I was working security at that con and somebody tried to do that, I would have to have them beaten.
Drag them out and just beat the shit out of them.
You know, the security team would be like, you know, like an old school in England, you know, permission to take this brony out and have him beaten. Granted. And they just have, like, beating sticks.
Batons. They're fabulous batons.
Aren't you worried the fashion piece will beat you with their fabulous batons?
We can take them. Well, it's been a nice week on my end, at least. Nice and quiet and calm. And no fires, because fires are bad.
So you're, that's more fortunate than some parts of the country, unfortunately.
Yeah, you know.
I was going to say, kind of worried, like parts of Colorado.
Yeah, a new state, Colorado.
Florida. No, California. I don't know.
Yeah, Colorado is unfortunately on fire right now.
Yeah, Colorado Springs. All I gotta say, where's their God now? No.
Dude.
Focus on the family. Focus on the fire, motherfuckers. Ah. No. Getting burned alive sucks. Don't do that.
Oh, that's... Look, even it stretches it a little bit, too. You see that?
What are you...
It's like it's jelly.
iPad.
He's playing with the iPad. Are you looking at porn?
He's making the iPad.
No! You see the way, you know, jiggles like that?
Oh, my.
And when you pull it, it actually stretches the page a little bit.
And goes, boy, yo, 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 yo.
So, like, if you had a picture of some big busted furry chick, you could just, boy, yo,
yo. I could make her wobble, yeah.
That's hot.
It's like jelly.
Made of web pages.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I like my iPad.
So, what about y'all?
I've had a week at work in which I pretty much gave no fucks.
No fucks were given?
God, no fucks were given today, man, because it's Friday. Next week has a holiday in it. Three of the managers, including mine, were on vacation today, which doesn't inspire me with a lot of...
A lot of giving a fuck.
A lot of fucks to give, right? So I'm just like thinking, it's Friday. And I'm thinking of all this shit that I've got to do. Like all this shit that I could be doing at home that would be way more productive.
Rewarding.
Way more rewarding, yes, than what I'm doing at the day job. But, you know, I got to do the day job. You know, I got to support my habit of Twinks and Coke. So.
Got to have your bowl. Got to have your Cheerios.
Yeah. Because it's Friday, fucking some bitch on Friday.
You know, bear in mind that Gotta have your bowl and gotta have your Cheerios.
Cereal.
They're separate things.
Yeah.
Gotta right. have a bowl.
You can have Cheerios without a bowl. It's, you know, challenging, but you can do it.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Milk's impossible, but you know.
I'd be that excited about going to school, too, if I'd started every day with a bowl.
Learning is fucking amazing, man.
It's so delicious.
Man, teacher.
So, on that note, they discovered that the guy that went crazy and ate some homeless dude's face.
What?
Was this was one of the cannibal zombie cases from like 3 weeks ago. Was high on marijuana.
So he had the munchies.
Somebody made that joke. Yeah. How do we know he didn't just have a severe case of the munchies? So, you know, you have the camp that's trying to blame marijuana, and then you have the camp that's saying, marijuana's not dangerous. He must have been crazy anyway. And, you know, who knows? Because they thought he was high on the bath salts, the new kind of drug.
Yeah, it's the new meth. It's marketed as, under the name, tagline of calling it bath salt. It's not actually bath salt. It's a synthetic drug that's currently legal along the lines of crystal meth that
except it does everything bad. There's, like, no good. There's no pleasant high. I don't understand it. Like, I could kind of understand how somebody could become a drug addict. But when the drug only produces negative results, why would you take it? It makes you, like,
paranoid and retard strong.
Paranoid, retard strong, hallucinogenic, and some violent. Other fucking fucked up thing,
and
right?
Apparently it makes people feel like they're, like, on fire, so they take off their clothes. Because there's been several similar things like this occur.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, if being on weed makes you eat people, it would be a zombie apocalypse in California.
They also wouldn't have medical marijuana. It's been like, well, you might eat your grandma, but at least the chemo won't hurt. Now, you know? I mean, I just...
It's like, man, I got bad knees. I need to go to the dispensary. Toke up and start munching on your friend. Whoa, dude, it's like you're eating me. Oh, shit, you are.
Whoa.
Let's see. I was off last week. So, biggest thing in my life, new roommate, so helping him move in. Lots and lots and lots of that.
Stuff.
Yeah, stuff arranged, you know, just, yeah.
Stuff everywhere.
Yeah. Well, finally, my house is getting back in order. We had to kind of rearrange everything, as in we had an office, used to. Now we no longer have an office, and there we have had to find places to put our various computer stations, which, considering we both have pretty decent setups, is...
Your battle stations.
Yeah. Mine ended up in my bedroom, which is unfortunate because me and my mate don't always have similar sleeping schedules, which means that when I want to use my computer, I can't. So.
Oh, I wish that was my problem. See, because Tyrion just uses his computer. And
that's why Panther and I's computers are in here.
Oh, believe me, if I could possibly find a way to put it in a different part of the apartment, I would. But we are stuffed to the gills.
You could hook your computer up to your TV. And just use that as one massive monitor.
No, I'm probably going to have to actually find a way to kind of permanently put my laptop somewhere elsewhere. And just work with it that way. But it's been interesting. Lots and lots of stuff to move around. We had to just... I didn't know how we were going to fit that room into the rest of the apartment. Somehow we have Tetris and Jenga'd it all into place. This is... My mate is some kind of Tetris god, which is good because I'm a Tetris piece.
Yes.
Right. I mean, it's like, you know, you're talking about, like, Tetris is hard. I'm like, look, he's dealing with you. He knows how to deal with L
it's
shapes.
Okay. He knows how to complete your row.
So he somehow got one stuffed, chaotic closet pared down, cleaned up, and put magically in with all the other crap we already have.
Mm-hmm.
And that was amazing. But we managed to completely strip out that room, and I still don't know how. Get the guy moved in, get all his stuff moved in, and the only thing that have really had to sacrifice this entire thing is we had to throw out our dining room table, because he came with one. So, yeah.
Was it better than your dining room table?
Ours was something shitty and rickety, and
I thought it was like a card table.
No,
from the 70s.
No, it's like
that.
One step up from a card table. It's really shitty. I got it for like $25 from a college kid.
It was literally made
kids,
of card.
From college kids that were leaving their dorm 11 years ago. He came with a oaken antique table.
Oh, okay.
That's been restored. He
looks
wins.
Like the table over there that currently has car stuff on it, I got that at like Thrift Town for $25 when Panther and I first moved in together. Mm-hmm. I was in charge of getting furnishings. We got furnishings very cheaply.
Mm-hmm.
So it's lots of heavy lifting. I'm tired of heavy lifting and carrying shit upstairs.
Yeah, you've got some steep ass stairs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, man, in the winter when everything was fucking frozen last year, I was, like, so afraid of falling down your stairs. It was like the fucking stairs in The Exorcist, you
I think
know?
That was the year before. This last year, we didn't get any snow.
That's what I said the last year.
Oh, sorry.
What's worse is because the way her apartment's oriented, you just once you'd hit the bottom, you'd just sleep sliding down the hill the rest of the way.
See, to fix that, what we did is, being a cook, I have a big-ass box of kosher salt. We opened it up and we just threw it down the stairs by the handful. Uh-huh. I no longer had a big ass box of kosher salt by the end of the snowstorm.
Die, snow!
It's like, fling!
There's some poor snail fling in the way.
I don't have rock salt, but I have kosher salt. It's flaky and, you know. Huh. But yeah, our stairs are not fun when it ices up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mine weren't either. That was kind of a bitch. At least the majority of ours are under the cover. It's only the first four get really snowy.
Well, see, the thing with us, like at ours, when you had that, the whole walkway was just the sheet of ice.
Oh, yeah. All of our walkways were
except for
fucked.
The little bitty part that, you know, was covered by the crossing upstairs. So it's like you step out the door, you take your life in your hands.
That was the same snowstorm where Webster almost gave herself a concussion.
And Panther banged his knee, and
she slid into a car and got locked between her and a mail car.
You know, here in Texas, we don't know how to drive in ice and snow. We freak out.
Well, we don't have the tires for it.
I call in for a week. Fuck it.
Yeah. So, but now it's summertime and it's like 110 degrees. So,
and fuck that noise.
Yeah.
All I have to say.
So, the interesting thing I learned today is that I was wondering why the dark Twitter account kept saying that they were slowing down the TRE and to expect delays because of the heat. And I was like, why would heat slow down a train? So I looked it up and I had an inkling of what it might be. And I was right. Yeah. It can fucking warp railroad tracks. When it's like 110 degrees, the tracks are like 150 degrees.
Wow.
And they will start to warp. And 2 years ago in East Texas, I forget the name of the town, but it was like 80 miles east of Dallas, a cargo train derailed and like 10 of 14 cars derailed.
Shit.
And some of them were carrying grain, you know, the big open ones are just a big pile of grain. So there was like grain everywhere and shit. So since then, I mean, they take precautions. It doesn't seem to affect the light rail, but the TRE and Fort Worth system is on the old cargo lines, which is the heavier rail.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's more susceptible to heat. So, because every day I see TRE customers expect a 5 to 10 minute delay because we have to slow the TRE down because of the heat. And I was like, fuck. And I saw somebody tweet today. They didn't live... I don't think they didn't live here, but they lived somewhere else where it was also hot. They saw a bird explode.
What?
Bird explode from the heat. That's some fucking heat.
How the fuck did that even happen?
What
do you do? It's like just like drink a bunch of water and then its bodies go, nope.
I don't know, but You know, there was like, I mean, we were a very balmy, cool 98 degrees today.
I know.
You know, I looked at weather.com. I was like, man, we're not going to break 100 all week. This is amazing. And Avery and I were joking about, oh, we better get out the fucking winter gear. You know, I was like, I'm going to wear my Okicon hoodie tonight because it'll be cold. It'll be 90 degrees.
Like,
but Kansas, though, Kansas is hitting 110.
Jesus.
So that doesn't like ever happen. Massive heat wave, and they're further north than we are, but there's like this massive heat wave moving east across the country that's just fucking things,
and
basically.
It's coming here next, I'm sure.
No, okay. Next week is all under 100 every day.
Huh.
Yeah, I'm surprised because it was so blisteringly hot last week.
Oh, God. That was the first almost, I think it got up to like 99 the day we had to move that guy's stuff into our apartment. Stairs, baking, just die.
Yeah, because you're only on a second floor. But those stairs are so steep, they remind me of how high up my third floor apartment was when I first moved to Dallas.
Well, there's no mid... Yeah.
There's no middle floor. Does the bottom floor have really high ceilings or something?
Yeah, so about the same as mine.
Really? It just seems really... It seems like your door is really high in the air.
Well, it's also... We're also... There's that double tier, because there's the steps that come up from, like, the parking lot up onto the concrete
Yeah,
slabs.
Your building is already raised up.
Yeah,
right.
So that's adds to the
bullshit. It's like, it's weird because, like, Arkansas, Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, Memphis, and all that, super hot, where Texas isn't. It's so, you don't normally
It's freaky.
I guess we got it last week.
I guess.
I have found a sweet spot to park my car at a train station though, so that it is in the shade all day. And sure, I might have tree spunk and bird shit on my car and have to take it to the car wash. It's not 115 degrees in my car when I open it now, so that's nice.
Yeah, that's one thing about my... We moved business locations this past year. I mean, before, had four stories of covered parking in a massive office building. So nice. Come out. I'd park my car as deep into the shade as I could get.
Yeah.
And I'd come out and my car was beautiful, cooled off, all nice. Mm-hmm. And now we got nothing. It just bakes, bakes, bakes. And everybody competes for the tiny little bit of tree shade that we get.
Wow.
That sucks. My car is black in Texas sun. Holy fuck.
Yeah.
Oh.
My car, I guess, does all right. It's like that light blue color, but and Tyrion's is white, so it reflects sun onto everything else.
Yeah, my car, I think it got up to 114 on the interior, it said.
Yeah.
I haven't measured mine, but holy.
I have a little thermometer.
Yeah, as we were leaving Whataburger earlier, I was like, man, it feels actually kind of nice outside, and 99 degrees.
Yeah.
Fucking Texas.
It's amazing how quickly your body gets acclimated to, you know, 101 is too damn hot, and then 98 feels okay.
It's like it's hot, but it's not that bad. I can deal with that.
It's also partially whatever the humidity factor is or whatever. You know,
yep. So.
That crazy shit.
Anyways, we should probably read some emails. We have quite a few this week.
Yeah,
yeah, surprise. That. Like, we were doing a show about nothing. This is like episode Seinfeld, and we've got like all these email. I don't know what to do.
I think you should read an email.
It's a shout out. Okay.
Fuzz off in size and get your cock out.
I really need to stop doing that.
They're going to be like, you're aping Kevin Smith. Oh.
Well, fuck yeah. Him. Yeah, fuck him. Anyway.
He favored one of my tweets, motherfuckers. You deal with it.
That's almost like sucking his dick.
Almost.
And I would suck his dick.
It's like,
then I let him suck my dick.
So, hey, so like,
the next hour will just be us making cock-sucking sounds.
Hey, Kev, you know, I'd love to, you know, fly out and suck your cock. Would you do that for me?
You know, he would totally dig a tweet. He'd probably favorite a tweet like that. You know, if you just
it's like
at that Kevin Smith, dude, I would really love to suck your cock. Favorite it. She's like, what, talking about the way from being gay? picking the lock on the cell door, only to find out I made parole. Hello again, Fuzzy One, Fox of Awesome, and a female that was supposed to be mixed up in this shit last time I wrote in.
Oh? Did I miss something?
Just an email.
Okay.
Deeds of the... Okay, so basically this dude wrote in last week with his family was giving him shit about how furries are... It's a hobby, but they're expecting it to be the fucking Peace Corps or something like that. Like, oh, furries never do anything for anybody else, and they only want to help animals, and blah, blah, blah. So we rattled off, like, a couple of dozen fucking charitable cool things that furries have done, mm-hmm. Which we have a song about this week, courtesy of Bucktown Tiger, so that should be cool. And he is writing in with a follow-up on that advice. So... Deeds of the Furry Fandom 101 was a somewhat successful course in getting my family off my back. The only thing I had to show them was a story on Fernando's and media proof of the fundraiser. They read it on Flara, but I didn't have the heart to tell them that it is a furry site. So they have credible evidence of goodwill and success in the fandom. Thank you guys so much for helping me on this, and I hope to see you guys again in the future. Back when I was in Oklahoma fur, I watched the live show at OkaCon 8, I believe. If 9 was last year, then it must be. Yeah, because this year's their 10th anniversary and they're doing a big thing. Anyway, you're a loyal fan in Ohio, Raven. So, thank you very much for writing in with the follow-up.
Good to know that we helped.
Yep. I'm very yay about that.
We're helping.
Okay, so this is a wall of text. So, does Shiva want to read it?
Oh, God, help me.
I shouldn't read it.
Okay, well, let's...
Are you trying to spare the listeners?
Yes. I'm trying to spare you.
Oh.
From having to read it.
Well, yes, because we'd be, you know, at the hour mark by the end of it.
No. That's interesting. It auto-sizes just fine on the iPad screen, but it looked like ass on your phone.
It wasn't this one. It was a different one.
Oh, it was? Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, fuck that other email then.
Yeah.
I
don't know. Go ahead, all right. Severin.
Off topic. Warning! Warning! There was enough text in this email to make Shiva's face melt off, Raiders of the Lost Ark style. Which is why I'm reading it. Hello, Notcast. I wanted to take the opportunity to say thank you for all the hard work and commitment you have put into this podcast. I started listening regularly just over a year ago and have been hooked ever since. You have brightened so many of my days, given some great advice, and have made my long, tedious trip from where I live to my hometown so much more exciting. Now down to business. This may not necessarily be on topic, as I've not listened to the most recent episode. First, some background on me and my, sort of mate. Let's call him Rue. I'm a 20-year-old Arctic hare from Alberta, Canada, named Laporan. I'm gay, pansexual. At the age of 19, it came out to my immediate family and close friends. I've been part of the furry fandom for a little over a year. I tend to be fairly open to share my philosophy with anyone who asks. I grew up in a very religious home, so coming out was difficult and remains a sore spot between me and my family. Sexually, I tend to be fairly liberal and everything... A.K.A. Anything Goes.
Everybody piss on me!
Rue is a 19-year-old bisexual from the same city. He's closeted to all members of his family except his sister, and is only out to a select few of his non-furry friends. He tends to be very cautious what he shares with who, and is very self-conscious. Sexually, he tends to be conservative. At the very core, we are very different people, and even at the surface, we do not share many common interests. Here is the issue. At the beginning of a relationship of 5 months, I made it known that I was a lot more liberal sexually, i.e. interested in the kink community. Rue wanted a monogamous relationship. We went with monogamy with a few provisions to let me explore a little bit. In general, the rules of me, no kissing, no below the pants, and no sex. These rules applied to both of us. This was not a problem for me, as I was more interested in understanding the community than having sex. My hope was to learn and understand before doing potentially dangerous things on my own. Tried to be as open as possible through by inviting him to as many meetups as I could, and always telling him where I was going, who I was going with, and if he could not come, what I was planning on doing. However, it was very clear that he lacked interest in my little exploratory endeavors. It caused a decent amount of tension as Rue, being very self-conscious, disliked coming to these events. When I went with friends alone, he always worried about my safety and worried that I would mess around on him. On one such occasion when I... was visiting my hometown 300 kilometers away and went to an edgier bar with a couple of our mutual friends, I was sure to stay within the boundaries that were set, and I told my friends to keep me accountable. All went well, and I had a good time. Meanwhile, back in my town of residence, Rue was attending one of our weekly fur meets. One of my straight non-fur classmates had been introduced to the meet and intended often just to hang out with the furs. This classmate had expressed an interest in fooling around with Rue as an experiment of sorts, and long story short, I received a text message from my classmate the morning after asking if it was okay for Rue to fool around with him. I was upset by this, since I expected the same open communication that I had given Rue. He did not call or text me before or after he had considered messing around, not to mention he put my friendship and professional relationship with his classmate at risk. It hurt knowing that what was expected of me was not returned. I talked to Rue, and he had sex with my classmate. At this point, I was quite angry and upset. We talked in person. I wanted to split because I felt as though he'd crossed the line. It also seemed clear that our ideologies and desires were causing too much conflict. He begged and pleaded with me, and against my own intuition and the advice of others, I took him back. Our relationship, however, did not change. I pushed for an open relationship, essentially continuing what had been working out with more relaxed terms. If we wanted to mess about, we would let the other partner know or get their approval beforehand. If an moment happened, a partner had a sexual contact without asking, we'd tell the other partner as soon as it happened and work from there. This did not sit well through, as he insisted he would never require the open aspect of a relationship, and this caused more tension between us. Over the next few weeks, I asked Rue if I could fool around with someone who was a mutual friend, and Rue did not approve, and I respected his wishes. He became extremely protective and possessive. This led to a few heated arguments about our relationship, and one such argument occurred about a month into our open status. At that point, I was living in a shoebox of a bachelor pad with only one room. Yes, just one tiny living space and a washroom. Rue was over and we're arguing. I got frustrated and with nowhere to go to cool off, I told him to fuck off. He did not take this lightly and stormed out of my place. A couple days later, we apologized to each other and all was well. In fact, it was better than before. I pushed the kink and opened stuff less, and he listened more. A barrier in communication was broken. Or so I thought. Over the next 2 months, we grew closer and got better at reading each other and communicating. And then everything went crazy. Dun, dun, dun. Mm. I was talking to another local fur, let's refer to him as Husky, who both me and Rue have some history with. The topic of how crucial honesty and communication to relationships came up, and Husky broke down and told me that he and Rue had exchanged hand jobs right after our argument a couple months before. I thought Husky was full of it in my mind. There's no way that Rue could have done this, especially after all that had happened. Husky's also a bit manipulative, and I have trouble trusting everything that comes out of his mouth. I confronted Rue with a little pressure. He broke, told me that, in fact, it was true, and that he had hidden it to try to keep the positive move we had made to continue forward. I was destroyed by this. It felt as though all progress we had made in trusting each other was all for loss. I had a deep sense of betrayal and sadness, knowing that he did not trust me enough to tell me he had an oops moment. I tried letting Rue down nicely, but he begged and pleaded again. I have told him that I cannot be a mate to someone that I do not trust and someone that I feel has betrayed me at that deep level. The past 2 weeks have been talking a lot, but my opinion has not changed. The entire relationship, and I remain monogamous to him, apart from a couple threesomes that he was participant in, so I feel as though the thing he demanded most of me, he was not able to supply himself. I still care deeply for Rue, and part of me wants to love the hell out of him. I've tried to be around as much as possible for him in the past weeks. He's in a constant state of sadness, and I wonder if me crushing him is we're hurting more than is helping. Deep down inside, it kills me to see him like this, and I'm very torn with what I should do here. There are two sides to every story, and I know I have some fault in what has happened. So here are my questions. Am I blowing this out of proportion? Did he cheat? Are my feelings of betrayal justified, or is my reaction over the top and cruel? How do I deal with letting a person go, and how do I help that person let go of me? Or do I give him another chance? Your thoughts would be greatly appreciated. Again, thank you for the great show. I'm sorry for the big-ass wall text. I typed this out on my phone. Oh, okay, good. He hastily edited on his computer, so I hope there were not too many spelling and grammatical errors. Laporin.
Okay, first of all, this is actually a pretty well-typed email for being typed on your phone.
So I know, right? Because I was like, typed on his phone. He did edit it on the computer, but still.
Secondly, I was feeling my fucking rage-o-meter charging as you were reading that. Mm-hmm. And then at first I'm thinking, not about Rue. I'm like, fuck this guy. Fuck this guy. And then I'm like, just dump this asshole. Dump this motherfucker. I mean, just... No, you're not blowing it out of proportion. Yes, he did cheat on you. Your feelings of betrayal are justified. Your reaction is not over the top and cruel. How do you deal with letting him go? Let him go. Because you're both crutching each other right now. Dump the motherfucker already. Rip off the band-aid and it will hurt now, but it'll heal quicker later. Part ways and yeah. try not to see each other. But, oh my God, this pisses me off on so many levels.
So controlling, so controlling, so controlling, but I can fuck around.
Right. See, I hate this ultimate hypocrisy like this of being that possessive, and I want to fuck around and do what I want, but you can't. We talked about this on a show before.
Yeah.
When you have an open relationship and open communication, your mate does get veto power in case you're trying to sleep with a guy he knows has crabs. But if every single time you want to do something, your mate's like, not that guy, not that guy, not that guy. By the way, I'm getting laid by everybody over here.
And not telling you first.
And oh my God, just fuck that. The whole thing. I want a monogamous relationship. And he's the one having all the sex?
Yeah.
Fuck him. Sorry. So, I'll stop now.
No, I'm in complete agreement with yeah. Fuzz here. So I think we're all in agreement. You know, yeah, fuck yeah,
that's
Rue.
Not the
I'm
way
sorry.
That game is played.
That guy needs to get the fuck out. But I'm just thinking of, like, you have this massive fight, and he's like, you, Husky, whip out your cock. Oh, no. And it's like jackhammering that cock. He had the most rage filled.
I've had an argument with my mate because I really, really want to be in a monogamous relationship, so I really need to jerk off somebody else right now. And you guys can't see my face right now, but it's
that sounded pretty descriptive of your face.
Yeah,
I'm sorry that things have gone this way. Rue is clearly not your kind of guy.
Some of the things that really get under my skin are hypocrisy and double standards, and this situation hits all those buttons. Like, I'm sorry you've had a really shitty relationship. You are totally justified in dumping this guy and moving on.
And we haven't had a dump the motherfucker
in a while. Yeah. And I realized that, yes, you have feelings for her, because even when somebody fucks up massively, it is possible to feel affection for them. And that sucks, dude. But the best thing for you is to dump this guy and move on. He sounds, from your description, like a complete shit. And I know that, like you said, there are two sides to every story. The truth is usually somewhere in the middle. But when somebody writes to us, and that's their perception of their relationship, whether it's 100% true or not, they feel that way about their relationship, but that's usually a pretty good sign that they should not be in that relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that my advice stands: dump the motherfucker already. Move on.
Case closed.
Pretty cut and dry.
Fucking Wapner has spoken, bitches. Anyway, go ahead. Your turn.
Give me a short one because I'm derp.
It's short, but it worked. Oh my God. Oh jeez. Oh yeah. You have to scroll on the even on the tablet.
You could do the one that says thanks so much.
No, mine.
It's a short one. But it worked on yours?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. So, Saverin, this thing has to scroll like shit on the iPhone, on the iPad, but it auto-sized on the touchpad.
Weird.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
He must have sent this from, like, his Windows phone.
Haha, no, so Windows understands it.
It's like, Windows is like, no, fuck you. Well, no, see, that's the touchpad. That's the HP, like, custom OS thing.
Okay, so...
I don't know.
I want them to make an HP love pad that's got, like, tentacles and shit.
So, here we go. Let's see. Thanks so much. Hey there, Notcasters. I just want to start by saying thank you. I was so excited that you read my email on episode 182. The advice you offered was very good, as well and very considerate to what I was asking. I couldn't believe my ears when Saverin started reading my email, and I couldn't believe how happy it made me feel. Well, now that I got that out of my system, I did take your advice and joined LiveJournal in the Oklahoma Furs community. I made a post looking for local furs and found at least one so far, hopefully more, when you are finished reading this. I've also decided that I'm going to do whatever it takes to go to OklaCon this October, since I couldn't make it to the barbecue on Saturday. Aw, I was going to be there. I must say, I am especially excited to see that Notcast will be there, and I will have to attend and meet you all. Your very appreciated friend, Thistle. Pronounced like Thistle, but with an S sound instead of an I. Good, I got it right.
You know what's interesting also that just occurred to me? I remember reading this email, but I read it on my phone. So on Android, it also auto-resizes. So whatever email client he's using just doesn't like iOS devices.
Ha! It's prejudice.
Interesting. You're welcome. And also, I was hoping to find out some more information about... We had a guy on Twitter tell us that, yes, there is still an active furry community in Tulsa. And apparently they had a barbecue meet like a couple weeks ago. He was from out of town, so he wasn't sure how they're normally set up. He was just with friends that brought him along. But there is an active furry community out there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Yeah, so that's good. And yeah, we will totally be. I would have liked to have gone to the barbecue this weekend, but I've got like so much Fur Planet stuff to do. We had a boatload of stock arrive today, and I've got all my pre-orders to get out and. Bunch of other stuff I'm working on, so I can't just up and go to Oklahoma. Although I'd really like to, because I'd like to see some friends up there. But yeah. I will hell or high water. I'll be at OklaCon, even if I have to work Friday, drive up after work, and come home Sunday, like I did a couple years ago, because I've got so little time off. But I will definitely be there for we'll do a live show. I'm sure so.
We'll be like sup bitches.
I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, OklaCon is a con that I wish I had more time off, because I would totally stay up there a few more days and just like that area. And I couldn't live in a small town like that, but it's such a nice break. I love my life the way it is, but it's nice. It's a nice change of pace every now and then.
A lot quieter, a lot more relaxed.
Yeah.
A little bit more zen.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And being a bit disconnected. I've rambled on and on and on about how much I like OklaCon before.
It's a really nice break.
Yeah. So it's my turn again, right?
Yep.
Okay. An FML moment brought to you courtesy of Notcast with a bonus question. This is a terrible story. This is a stick your fist in your mouth.
Devour it all.
Kind of story. Okay. Hey, casters. TJ here again, this time with a tale of woe. I said I would write in next Open Topic Day, so here I am. Let the story begin. Okay, so a little backstory. When I first started listening to Notcast, I would hear something to 2 to 6, depending on current cast size, would say, and the rest of the group would laugh. Sometimes it was a meme that was never really explained to me, while other times it was an inside joke that had been shared with the audience. Because I started way late, I never really knew which it was. One example of this is by and large, furries are by and large. This is one thing I know I've heard Fuzz say a number of times, get a chuckle out of the group. It's one I know I've used in some circles and might get a chortle myself. Which, yeah, that's... I don't know where that started, but it's been around the net for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one that I never fully got the backstory on until it was far too late was the Twitter hashtag Fat and Suspicious. When I first heard you guys say it, I thought it was a general internet joke.
No. That
that I just Saverin, I think, just ran ahead of me a little bit. A general internet joke that I just never heard of. I chuckled, knowing it was meant to be read as a joke, and went with it. Now for the FML. One night, I was working with a woman who is, well, a bigger girl. I still think she's pretty, but she is really self-conscious, particularly about her body weight, though I didn't really know that at the time. When she returned from break, she was mad. She told me how the store security was following her while on her break. She asked me, do I have thief written on my face or something?
Oh, no.
I chuckled to myself, thinking of Notcast. I don't know if I tried to stress how much I was joking before or after saying it, but I thought we were friends enough to where she knew I was kidding. So one way or another, I asked, have you ever heard of the saying fat and suspicious? What I didn't know at the time was how much that I hurt her feelings. We went about the rest of her shift like there was no issue, mainly because I didn't think there was one. About a week or so later, I get called up to a co-manager's office. My co-worker was so upset, not only did she go home and cry herself to sleep that night, she then wrote a letter to our co-manager complaining about me. She didn't talk to me or our department manager about it. She went right up chain of command, skipping the safer, less lectury way. When I returned to the deli and she was talking to other coworkers about it, I found out she told just about everyone but me she was upset. I never knew. I ended up getting just a lecture on how you don't say that to women from a female co-manager. Kind of embarrassing. I don't quite remember, but I do think there is now info on that on my record with that company. For a good week or two after, I did not say a thing to her, unless I had to for work reasons. And even when I finally did cool down enough around her, I still barely had much social interaction with her. Yes, I messed up, I'm not going to deny that, but because she went the route she did, I felt like she would throw me under the bus in a heartbeat. I decided to play it safe around her from then on. Of course, it is months after the event that I finally hear the full history behind the Twitter tag, but by then the damage was done. Oh well, live and learn. And I have a random question for y'all. Granted, I am younger than the casters, 22, but it is more general knowledge I'm curious about. At Morphicon this year, a male friend of mine went to the Frozen Oasis event in a skirt. Now, this didn't bother me. Cross-dressing is hot, and he was looking good. And because it was a con, I felt people expect to be somewhat out there, and it's a safe place to do something like that. My question is this. Do you think cross-dressing like that, a guy wearing a skirt and not as a drag queen, would be appropriate for, say, a gay club? I'm just not quite sure if I would get weird looks because of it when I'd just be trying to be attractive. I do understand that there is a time and a place for everything, but I'm not sure club would be appropriate. I hope you've enjoyed my tale of woe, and I thank you very much for your time and answering my random question. Enjoy your weekend and keep casting knots. TJ.
I think it depends on the club. You might want to go there and scout the scene. And it depends on what way you're taking it. Are you going to more gothy? Because I've seen
gothy skirts for dudes.
Mm-hmm. Or are you going for, like, the sundress type look? Because I know people who cross-dress, and, you know, it really depends on the club. I would go to the club a couple times, keep an eye out, see what is on the general menu, and make your call based on that.
So I actually, I don't go to gay clubs very often. And so I don't really know what's fully in there right now and what isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to actually give pretty accurate advice on this. So I actually asked a couple of people that I know are more into the club scene, including one local drag queen and another friend of mine who likes to dress up occasionally who lives up in Seattle. And there was a bit of a difference in their opinions. One said that, you know, most gay clubs are very open and accepting of all range of gay, bi, les, trans,
gender,
drag, etc. So it should be okay. And the other person I spoke to was a little more in the middle. For one thing, he said you might be safe in the club, but in the area around the club, depending on where you live,
mm-hmm.
you might get harassed just by assholes hanging around outside the area and
was
stuff.
Was that the drag queen?
Yes.
Yeah, he had a bad time last week, I think.
Oh, so
I just got a lot of shit getting to and from the club.
That sucks.
I heard about that.
Okay, so he'd offered a cautionary tale there. The other thing he'd said was that, you know, if you're just wearing a skirt and you're not transgendered and you're not a drag queen, it's unusual for gay clubs, at least here in the Dallas area. People might kind of give you a look, but nobody in a club will really give you shit about it. If you're actually trying to go and pick up a guy, he said he wouldn't do it. He'd just dress like a regular gay guy, basically. Yeah. Because most guys there are going to pick up other guys unless they're going for like a drag queen or something like that.
Mm. Yeah.
So, not that you would get, like, a ton of shit in the club, but you said you were trying to look attractive, so
where do you go to pick up traps? Advice.
Huh?
Where do you go to pick up traps?
Anime conventions.
Oh, okay.
Crossplayers. See, for me, I would totally pick up a guy in a skirt mm-hmm. at a club, you know, if they made it look good, you know? Because short skirt, guy, girl, in between, doesn't matter. You know,
everybody's got a butt.
Everyone's got a butt. God, there was a funny conversation on Twitter about that the other day. I tweeted something like, is it still called a trap
if you're happy with the result. Like, you're like, yay, a cock. You know, like you're bi, and then, you know, I'm like, I'd just flip him over anyway. And I think it was Rikoshi replied to me, the joke's on you. I was going to put it in your butt anyway.
I love nice. Traps, and I love reverse traps.
But yeah. As for the fat and suspicious, dude, don't ever tell a woman that. Fuck. I don't care if you're gay as Christmas. You should know better.
He's already been lectured once, Samarin.
Still. Oh, dude. Dude.
It's
why?
Okay to use fat and suspicious in reference to yourself. Never tell it to another human being. That yeah. No.
Yeah, see, like, it's sort of like being gay. You're allowed to tell gay jokes and be queer. Like, black people are allowed to say nigga to each other, and it's not considered a racial slur. I'm allowed to make fat jokes. Saren's allowed to make fat jokes. Saren and I make fat jokes about each other because we're friends. If some random person or somebody that I don't have a real close bond of friendship with were to make a fat joke about me, fuck them.
Yeah, I'd be like, the fuck you say?
That's stepping over the line if I don't really know you, you know?
Say what, mate? Time for some fisticuffs.
Are you pugilist now? Am I going to be on the back of the truck playing the old-timey piano?
Yes.
While you're fighting Space Jesus?
Yes.
Jam, motherfucker, jam!
Sorry, I say.
More Spodcast reference.
So anyways, moving on.
Excuse me.
Here's an email.
That was an email. Now this is an email.
It's another one that's a bit more cut and dry.
Okay.
Moving in with my mate.
What bitches we cutting this week?
Dear Notcast crew.
Dry ones.
First off, I love your show. It makes me laugh almost every time I listen to it. Keep up the fantastic work, guys. Well, as long as we have at least an 80% laugh rate.
Almost, except for that one time where you guys all made me cry. Fuck you, Notcast. Fuck you.
Now on to my question. My mate and I have been seeing each other online and in the real world for nearly 4 years now. He lives in Dalton, New York, currently plans to move here with live with me once I have a stable job and can do things. I live in Missoula, Montana, just so you know. My question isn't how to get him here, but more of what we should do to keep each other from going insane. How do we make a living together work? How do we make living together work? He's a great guy, and I love being with him. When we argue, it's always fun for us both. I hope you're one of people. Give me some advice on what to do. Make moving in with your significant other work. Well, as hard as I fear it will be, how has it worked out so far? My mate and I will do what it takes to make the move easy on him and the living together stable. I would like some help, even if it isn't read on air. Yours truly, that bunny in Montana, Nicholas Damon. P.S. I must say I like Fuzzle's voice, as it makes me feel tingly in areas.
Just certain areas, like his armpit.
Right, he doesn't say what. See, the last guy that said that about my voice said his nether regions, so I knew. This could be like the back of my knee gets this awful itch when I hear Fuzzwool's voice. Oh. And I have to scratch it till it bleeds, and then it's a good thing you only come out once a week because I couldn't listen to Notcast any longer.
So,
or I would lose my legs and have to get one of those fucking super legs that one dude had.
With the springy legs.
With the springy blade.
Cheetah legs.
Cheetah legs, yeah. Because he lost his shins and an arm.
So,
so on the topic at
on the topic at hand.
How do you live with your mate and not fucking kill each other?
Well, first of all, it's like
put all the knives away. Hold on a sec, I gotta take a drink.
It's like, how do you keep each other from going insane? I would say that you guys need to spend at least like a week of time together in the same space.
Yes.
Do you kill if you kill each other during this week? It's not the best news. But if you can get along and function as people around each other, then you probably can get along well enough, I would think.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
As for, you know, just, you have to have a FaceTime.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they said online and real life, so hopefully they see each other.
I'm assuming that, so, my situation probably matches up to this pretty well. Tieran and I's relationship was long distance for the first 4 years, which is about the same as theirs. And we had seen each other for spring break, for my week vacation from work, and a couple of cons each year. So over the course of 4 years, we'd spent a week to a weekend, or a weekend to a week amount of time here and there several times. So we felt like we'd spent, you know, some IRL time together, and over the course of 4 whole years, we knew each other pretty well. And, you know, at that point, you have a much fairer chance of it actually working mm-hmm. than if you've only been together online for a year and you've maybe met, like, twice or some low amount of times, like at a con, when it's hard because it's hard to judge those IRL times because you're on vacation, mm-hmm. you're at a convention, or you're on spring break, and you're happy, and you don't have the daily trials of going to work and everything kind of on your mind and having to deal with shit. Your lives are a lot different together when you're dealing with your everyday, day-to-day life.
Yeah,
and that's why I said, you know, it's like a week together when you're not at a convention because,
yeah.
like you said, conventions are a bit different.
Yeah.
So,
but,
Missoula actually shows up on the map.
Of course it does. I've heard of it. I don't know anything about it, but I've heard of it.
It's not that big, but it's a city.
Right. So, I took a big leap of faith coming out here to Texas, leaving behind my family, a very ingrained circle of friends that I'd known for years, and a good community, and transferring jobs and everything like that. And, you know, the first couple years, you know, Tieran and I would have a couple of bumpy patches, and we'd have a couple of fights and stuff like that. We still have fights occasionally. Every couple does.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever a couple tells you, we've been together so many years, we've never ever had a fight.
That's because somebody's holding their tongue.
I worry about that, and some bitch is going to end up dead, or they're going to break up, and it's going to be really fucking nasty. You know, you need that fucking release valve. Nobody is perfect. Even your fucking one and only is not perfect. And you definitely realize that once you're living together, because you will get on each other's nerves in little ways that you may not have predicted. And we both do it. And some of it is learning to live with the other person's quirks. Some of it is discussion and learning from discussion of, hey, that really annoys me. When you do this, can you not do this? And then a discussion, and then maybe some behavioral changes from that. But it's a combination of factors, and it's slowly learning about each other and how you are on a day-to-day kind of basis.
What are the big red buttons you don't push?
Right, because everybody has those hot button issues, and it's just kind of finding them. Sometimes by accident, like the fat suspicious thing. You know, it will be a gradual process, but just, you know, just be adults about it. Communicate. Do not hold a grudge for weeks, months, years, and then explode with 2, 3, 5 years of rage over every little thing all at once. You know, talk about issues as they come up and actually talk about them. Never go to bed angry, you know. Don't just shut each other out and say, I don't want to talk about this. It's really easy. It's really tempting to do that when you're in an unpleasant situation, but
it doesn't help.
It doesn't help. It is so much more productive and healthy for your relationship if you actually talk about it. And that has worked for me and my mate, and we've been together over 10 years now. So that's my advice on that. Sorry, that was long-winded. Do you have anything to add beyond that?
Not really.
It's kind of talk about, you're going to need to divide up chores and duties. And that could be anything from bill paying to who does the dishes to who does this or that. And it's going to be a matter of trying to make sure that everybody gets what's fair and equal for both.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you hate laundry but you don't mind dishes, then split that up. If there's a chore that somebody hates, make sure you guys take even tries at it. Even if you hate it, doesn't mean he enjoys it too, and you got to do your duty. Make sure you, if you guys are both super busy with work, make sure you set aside time to do stuff together.
Yeah, have a date night at least sometime. Yeah,
go out, do something special for each other. Don't let the daily slog make everything mundane and boring. Make sure you guys spend time. And at first, you guys are going to be Twitter-pated and, oh my God, I get to spend all the time with you. And eventually, the day-to-day is going to wear away at it, and you got to make a conscious effort to make sure that you guys keep some special time for each other. Let's see. If things are bugging you, like Fuzz said, make sure that you communicate effectively and don't just sit and resent it and get angry until kaboom. And then, yeah, kabooms are bad. But also, if he critiques you, you know, try to listen to what he's meaning rather than sometimes how the delivery is. It's just, it's a lot of give and take. It's a lot of learning quirks.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he'll do something that annoys the piss out of you. You can either try to ask him to stop, maybe he'll stop, or sometimes you just got to learn to put up with it. No matter how much it drives you nuts, you've got to learn to set aside your own irritations. Any other tips for living together?
That's mostly it. Making sure that you both feel valued and equal in the relationship, especially if there's an income disparity.
Keep your promises. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Don't welch on it. Don't back down. Try to just hold your word, and it keeps them from getting disappointed in you. So be careful. Don't forget things. Don't let them slide. Just try to keep up with, if you say you're going to do X, do X. Be reliable. That's about the best I can think of.
Okay. Who? I read that, right?
Yeah.
So it's Savern Stern?
It's
Savern Stern.
No, I read this because it made Fuzz's voice made him feel tingly in ears.
Oh, you're right. So it's Shiva Stern.
But as an aside, I was like, huh.
Where are we on time?
We're right at an hour.
Okay, then let's...
What's your aside, and then we can take a break.
Oh, Missoula's very pretty.
Oh, okay.
And it had a cool name. It was referred to as Hell's Gate.
Hmm.
I was going to joke and be like, oh, I've heard of Missoula. It's this blasted hellscape that no sane person would ever move to, even though I know nothing about it. So
no, there's
it's
a kind canyon of
funny
called,
that it has that name.
There's a place called Hellgate Canyon, and in 1860, Hellgate Village was established west of Missoula. And it's like, really?
Wow.
Wow. I live in Hellgate. Okie dokie. It's a very pretty little area.
Right.
It's just kind of crazy to realize, though, that the entire population of Montana is a million. It's less than a million.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That is crazy.
And how many is in DFW? Like four?
10 million. 10 million? In the DFW area.
Jesus.
Wow.
That's scary. I know Montana is pretty sparsely populated, but still.
Yeah, the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex has a listed population. I think the total is something on the order of, like, more than that. But still, it is...
A lot.
It's an urban area of 9,286 square miles. Is what's considered the DFW Metroplex now.
That's a lot, right?
Yeah.
I know.
Because it now, like, extends west into Parker and south into Ellis and south into Johnson. All the way out to, like, Delta County, which is...
But that's still smaller than Montana by a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Geography Cast. We're going to take a break now where we're going to listen to Carl Sagan talk about moon rocks.
Fuck yeah. I like geography, and it's just kind of crazy this whole huge state has
Actually, a mix it up geography, geology, and like moon rocks. Like, oh, because I don't know the name of any famous geographers. So
I was wondering, how does moon rocks play?
I just said it makes everybody up.
And wouldn't moon rocks be astrogeology?
Here we're going to listen to Marilyn Manson talk about moon rocks and geography.
And Satan.
And architecture, which is when you're shooting arrows.
Right. So enjoy the song.
Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. Now we all have hoped for something. The confidence we'll get what we've hoped for, that's faith. And sometimes it's all we need. From Brazil with ambition, yeah, seeking that American dream to make a name in. Now I'm a Pennsylvanian, Pittsburgh, and I don't even know the language. With my aunt went back, I stayed here. No bank, no car, no job, no fear. No fear. The opportunity seemed right. Yep. So many bridges, different home each night. Yep. Fellow student took me in, let me get a room. Working two jobs, doing everything that I could do. Closed shop late night, early morning. Fell asleep on the floor cause the bus stopped running. Second job went under, I paid cash for it. Whole savings plus a loan. Fast forward 10 months later, out of business and I'm flat broke. Asked around for a building, they thought it was a joke. A guy on Liberty Avenue was a witness. Said this is probably bad business, but he told me this community was built on dreams and we don't let dreams die here. This community was built on dreams and we don't let dreams die.
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 We don't let dreams die. No, we don't let dreams die. Opened up a cafe, same plan, same promise, but it need change on it. The menu, I put some new things on it. The stuff means more to you if you put your name on it. On the 6th convention came to town. Warm welcome, so I put some chalk down. Now it's a weekend, I'm completely running out of food. And they're so cordial and kind, and they was never rude. Stop the baby, they harassed her for the money. The scar from the brick to the head, it's just not funny. When it leaves, back to normal biz. Next June, they come back, I push 5,000 sandwiches. Still, the damn recession is a bummer. I'm holding out if I could just make it till the summer. Barely coping, fingers crossed, hoping. Let them cut the gas in my house to try to stay open. Landlord said he wants me out the 1st of May. The rent I couldn't pay, anything else I couldn't say. Soon as I planned to close, I started worrying. My best favorite customers came back 2 months early. From the heart, they raised enough to get me by. And when I asked them why, they just told me this community was built on dreams and we don't let dreams die here. This community was built on dreams and we don't let dreams die.
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 We don't let dreams die. No. This community was built on dreams and we don't let dreams die.
Y'all help somebody live their dreams.
This community was built on dreams and we don't let dreams die.
You should be proud of yourself.
We don't let dreams die.
No one can do anything by themselves.
We don't let dreams die.
You, me, we all need
we don't let dreams die.
To give back to your community.
We don't let dreams die. No, we don't let dreams die.
Some say that life is foolish and short, but it's still life. We all are what we are for a reason. So let's make the most of it.
Back. Hopefully you've had time to enjoy the song and totally do nothing illegal in the meantime.
Green and purple, green and purple.
So this week's item from AdamEve.com is Pegging 5, the strap-on love story. The all-anal special edition. No. Or Blunt Man and Chronic fight the cock. Wait, no. Fight cock.
I just got punched in the nuts by a guy named Cockknocker.
Well, this video doesn't have anything to do with the Cockknocker, though there are some cocks and some fake cocks. So it is a pegging video. where Nikki Daniel opens Curious Stud Tyler Thorne's ass with a dildo, then feeds him her big black strap-on. Karen Fisher screws her, and then she turns around and fucks him. And collared Johnny Donovan screws babe Izzy Ryder, but then she fills his bum with her big red strap-on.
So that does sound pretty hot, actually.
Yeah, I was like, man.
That's all the pegging.
Pegging. Oh, well, it's like also straight sex, but it's also pegging and lots of cocks and tits and vag.
It's pegging. It's straight, but I mean, as long as something is going into somebody's ass, it's all good.
Yeah. So it's 130 minutes. Doesn't have any reviews. Sounds kind of. It sounds hot. I mean, that's what I'm gonna say. Pegging's cool.
Order it and review it for us.
It's $24.95, but if you use our coupon code NOT, that's KNOT, and get the free shipping, mystery gift, and a sex sampler DVD, and what else?
You said free shipping, right?
Yeah, free shipping in the U.S.
Okay.
Continental U.S. If you're in Canada, or not. If you're in Canada, well.
If you're in Canada, you're not in the U.S., congratulations.
If you're in Alaska, you're fucked. And if you're Hawaii, well, you got some islanders to fuck.
Oh.
Anyways,
and they're all horny down there all the time because
they win in so
island.
Many other ways. It's not even funny if you're in Hawaii.
Yeah. So, anyways, Pegging Five Strap on Love Story, $24.95.
That's a great title. I'm sorry.
It really is.
Pegging Four: A New Hope.
Yeah.
Pegging Three: Revenge of the.
Of the peg, I don't know.
No, I was gonna Revenge of the Shit. All in
final chapter, yeah.
Anyways, so AdamEve.com, coupon code NOT. Get yourself some hot sounding porn. Do it.
Yeah, watch things going into butts. That's all we really need, like, right?
You guys say what? Butts. I'm thinking pegged in a completely different orifice because I have one. So
you have
know.
A peg?
No.
Oh. You have a penis?
No, I got a vagina. You can peg into a vagina.
I know. Well, yeah. I mean, I guess like a guy could wear a peg and do some double penetration.
I'm just thinking getting pegged by another girl.
Well, like, yeah, there's that. If you want to do it that way, sure. It's so much fun to think more fun to think a straight guy's taking it in the ass, though.
What's interesting though is they do sell those at Adam and Eve. They have a little. They're like a belt that the dude wears. Mm-hmm. So it's like you can. Fucker in the
ass end of ad.
The ass end of ad at the same time and just like, you know, flip around. Which one do you want to go in which hole? Take your pick. I don't fucking know, man.
Just don't switch from one to the other.
Yeah, don't do that.
That's dangerous.
So anyways,
Man, if you shoved a dildo in her mouth, like you could make one girl airtight all by herself.
Yeah.
All Lindsay Lohan and shit.
Making that bitch airtight. Just love being airtight.
Airtight. Find someone else, do the Wobbly H.
Wobbly H.
Also called the Eiffel Tower. It's like two guy on either side. Or girls with strap-ons on either side of some creature in the middle, either gender.
All the genders.
Some creature. It could be Odo. He keeps creating new orifices, and we have to figure out on the fly how to fill them.
So we have
a treasure chest full of dildos and strap-ons. We just grab one. There's another anus. Stick it. it's like sort of like a reverse whack-a-mole. It's fill-a-hole. I don't know where I'm going with this. Somebody stop me. So I'm gonna write my dirty DS9 fanfic right now.
I think that was probably already been done.
All the Trekkies in the audience just killed themselves. Somebody read an email.
Whose turn was it?
I don't know. I don't remember. Wait, it was...
It was mine.
I was going to say, wasn't it yours? And then we went to break. Okay.
Yes.
Yep.
So one of you read an email.
Okay, I will read an email. Okay, so to the fern episode 182, facing the scrutiny of Christian parents. Broadcasters of the Knot. Good day from the natural state, Little Rock to be precise. Yes, that place. This email is sort of a follow-up to the good that the fandom has done for all for its own as well as those in dire need. I first convention was MFM9. That's not me derping, that's how it's written. At the old Holiday Inn out by the airport. Nice place, but the current digs are much better, in my humble opinion. That year, Katrina had brought her stank to the Gulf Coast, leaving May to flee to neighboring states and safer shoals. A fur had lost his car as well as most of his worldly goods, was presented with over $3,000 raised by a caring community of furs. At the same event, Red Cross was given close to $4,000 to aid in its good fight. It would be 6 years later that I would receive a helping paw when a dilemma darkened my door. After attending the ice cream social, I passed the registration table to pick up a form for next year's membership. Upon reaching my car, I fumbled madly for a pen in the glove box, in turn dropping my keys on the floorboard. The door locked behind me, I found myself looking through a pane of shattered proof glass at a predicament of vast proportions. I rushed inside and asked the front desk for a phone book, only to realize there was no chance in hell that I could afford to have a locksmith come in on a Sunday and afford the gas for a return trip. Maintenance was nice enough to offer me a screwdriver and a wire hanger I requested, but alas, my MacGyver skills were no match for my Buick's electric locks. Suddenly, as all seemed dark, which it literally was, and raining, I might add, a ray of sunshine in the form of a horse with a very big heart came to my rescue. As he and I valiantly struggled against 1,500 pounds of American craftsmanship, we found that we were both Arkansas fans and of a certain moralistic equine program. I have no idea.
Arkansans and fans of a certain moralistic equine program.
Personal small horse.
Ah. We were soon approached by a staff member and found it odd to see two men trying to break into a car that was obviously not worth stealing.
I'm a big Buick fan.
This staff member was quick to contact his fellows over a walkie-talkie, and I soon found myself being led to a con chairman himself. He looked up from his tiramisu to see me soaked to the bone and on the verge of a nervous breakdown. The chairman calmly took his phone and dialed AAA. Now, the second after he had given the call center the hotel address, I was called to the front of the hotel. I found a friendly horse with my keys in his hand. It took every bit of self-control I had to stop from hugging him, and when I offered what little cash I had, he graciously declined. I returned to the con chairman to ask for him to thank him for his help. Being the strong, silent type, he just tipped his hat and bid me safe travels. For these gentlemen who remain nameless, they know who we are. You have a badge waiting for you at MFN 2012. Just come to the artist trading card panel on Sunday morning for a token of my gratitude. Sorry for the wall of text, but I just wanted to weigh in on the generosity of furries. Rarity would be proud. Keep up the good fight, Knotcasters. I hope to see you in Olive Branch this year. Your faithful listener, Keef.
That's good nice. Stories.
That is very nice.
Excellent.
The con chair looked up from his tiramisu and said, "What do you want, peasant?" No. This tiramisu gives you the idea of it's high society. I don't know. That's cool. I'm glad that it went well and stuff. So, hey.
Yeah, very good. Actually, yes, thank you for writing that. I was completely lost by Saverin's lack of words just now. Like you just totally threw me off for a moment.
Oh, sorry.
There. It was like contagious. I was just like, wow. I'm just watching him just sort of fumble right off the edge of the record, like crash, boom.
I need my medicine, man. It'll make me feel better.
Daddy's gotta get his fix.
Why don't you two read an email?
Well, it's Fuzz's turn.
It's my turn.
I don't know.
An email.
Yay!
It'll make you feel better.
What is a relationship? What is a relationship?
What is love? Head bob. I have to vocalize that because you don't see it. Anyways.
I'm hitting the microphone. Deer Librarian, Black Hole, and L-shaped Tetris Block.
None can escape my Vent Horizon. My gravity is too much.
Vent Horizon is Panther's nickname for your anus.
It's sucking me in. I'm going to have to push my balls into your ass to save myself.
What a terrible idea. Read an email. God.
I have a question regarding putting my balls in Saffron's ass.
Disallowed.
Disavowed.
I have a question regarding my current relationship and was looking for more experienced advice to perhaps help me with my problem. The problem is that I have difficulty putting my balls in Saffron's ass. Okay. I'll stop just in case this is important, which it might be. Okay. The problem is that I have difficulty exactly defining if what I am currently in is a relationship. I'm going to stop for a minute.
I have no problems trying to put my balls in Saffron's ass.
Podcast over. Flip.
By the way, don't put those little metal balls in your ass because they will kill you.
Are you talking about those little ones you put in cupcakes?
What did No. What are they called? The little metallic.
The Benoit.
The magnetic ones.
Oh god, yeah.
Bocce balls, something like that. They're called. There was issues with children swallowing them, and because they're really, really powerful magnets, they would basically, like, perforate their colon, and they would die. So, don't swallow those or put them in your ass. Things you should not put in Saffron's ass. Bocce balls. Your balls.
Any balls.
Beach balls. Because he's not into inflation.
Bowling balls.
Cannonballs.
Unless you just want to, like,
you're
lay an egg.
Fired. Things you can put in Saffron's ass. Cocks. Cucumbers.
More cocks.
Your arm up to the shoulder.
Two cocks.
Big Macintosh's big red horse cock.
You didn't buy me that one.
A half pound of sweet, sweet Chiba.
What?
Pot.
Summer sausage.
Bratwurst. His car keys. You go out there, you have to bump your ass against the side and hear it chirp, chirp, and open it.
Do you have a remote start,
too? But it's like a BMW, so as long as the key is in the car, you can still drive it. God, I was trying to let you get your breath there. And
it's not succeeding.
Okay. All right. This is actually... important relationship email. So, Shiva, breathe. Saffron, stop looking at porn.
No!
Are you signing on to F-List update here?
I'm trying to find a particular horrible image that... It's like, did you find it yet? Honestly, why was doing stuff like keeping your wallet here? Does it look like I have pockets? Gotta find the keys!
Oh, jeez. Okay, all right. I think we got the giggles out.
Maybe.
I'm going to...
Christ, read the emails.
Okay. The problem is that I have difficulty defining if what I am currently in is a relationship. To give a bit of background, I have been dating my current partner for a little over a year and a half. We are only long distance in the sense that he is 3 hours away, which is, of course, nothing in long distance terms.
I'm currently 19 and just finished my freshman year of college and am about to be heading back. I find that with full-time college and nearly full-time work, I rarely get to see my partner, which in and of itself would not be too bad, but he is almost as busy as I am, which leaves little time to talk or even communicate. Not that we don't try our best. I do love him, but there are times when I feel this just won't work with the sheer amount of responsibility I have now. This feeling is compounded by the fact that part of me feels like this relationship works as well as it does because, compared to my previous, I have invested quite a bit less energy emotionally into this. Is that wrong of me? I care about him, but emotion rarely ever overtakes me around him. And to finish, I want to ask you all just how much intellectual stimulation matters to you in a partner. In all honesty, this is the biggest factor that scares me in a relationship. Despite my best efforts to coax conversations out of my partner, they rarely lead anywhere or get much more than one-word answers. Our conversations often are primarily me talking, and despite my love of his listening skill, the fact that my conversations go non-reciprocated leaves me wanting. Love the show and hope for it to keep going for as long as you guys have knots, fictional or otherwise. Your friendly Arkansas whatchamacallit, Oglethorpe.
For me, intellectual stimulation is, yeah, that's high on my...
You need to have something in common.
Yeah, well, that and just sit and talk for hours. I mean, about things that we enjoy, just... It's super important to me. I mean...
Communication is key for a relationship.
Well, that and I enjoy intelligent partners that where you can have a discussion, trade information. It's... I have to have a partner that's at least about as smart as I am.
Mm-hmm.
And be able to enjoy at least some back and forth.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the reasons that I'm quite fond of Panther is that he is very smart.
Mm-hmm.
And smarter than me in a lot of ways. And I recognize that and I appreciate it because
he is
like,
scary smart in many ways.
It's good for Panther. Fox, know his place, Saffron. Very good.
It's like something is broken, fix it.
I'm just a fox. I don't know how to
flail noodle arms. No. You know. And that's, you know, that's key. I would say though, dude, you're 19. You're barely into college. You have got so much important shit in terms of your education. I wouldn't worry too much about relationships.
Just enjoy it.
You know, you can date casually. You don't have to overthink this shit. And if you appreciate each other's company, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But don't, like, freak out if it's not super serious because you really need to focus on school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get your education, and then if it doesn't work out with the dude, you've got a degree that'll hopefully snag you a six-figure job somewhere, and you can hunt down tail in that field. I mean, that's the way I would do it. You know?
Yeah, I basically agree.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my relationship kind of started similar to this, because... Tieran was in college and he worked and I worked a full-time job and was taking some classes and, you know, the difference was we were able to communicate on a regular basis and kind of keep something going there. And I think that's why it meant a little more and was able to grow more. I'd kind of second what Saverin said, that I wouldn't really worry too much about this, you know, bump it down a few notches on the old priority chart. And, you know, just you're both busy. You're both doing a lot of shit right now.
You're both young.
Just kind of leave things kind of casual, kind of fun, you know, see where it goes. Give it a little time. I would be a little bit worried, like Shiva was saying, about the lack of communication being reciprocated. That might be a problem for the long-term future of this relationship.
Can't have conversations with your partner. It's not very good.
But, you know, I'd hang out with friends locally and everything as much as you can. And, you know, just kind of keep this sort of a casual thing, not an, oh my God, we're together and we're going to be together forever kind of state yet.
Yeah.
Just kind of see where it goes.
Go to school, get good grades, wrap your junk.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Don't stick your dick in crazy.
It's kind of hard to... It's interesting because the core question of the email and the subject line is, what is a relationship? And there's no real set answer on that. I guess I would say a relationship is what you and the other person or people you're in the relationship with mutually agree is a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, because what is a relationship to me, you know, might not be the same thing as a relationship to that somebody else would have.
And, you know, for the semi-snarky but not really answer is, a relationship is not what you should be focusing on right now.
In my opinion, that's kind of a realistic
yeah.
approach to.
But, you know me. I do think that you might be a little overthinking this a little. You know, keep it casual. Focus on your school. Seriously. If you're able to go to school right now and can afford it and you're doing something that's going to be able to get you a good job, for fuck's sake, focus on it. You know.
Yeah, you want to stay out of this.
You're not a poor fuck like me.
Well, I was going to say, you want to stay out of this job market for as long as possible. So stay in school until shit turns around out here, basically.
It's like I'm like applying everywhere. It's like city of jobs right now.
Yeah. So shit stuff out there.
Anyways, so yeah.
So I read that.
That would be my turn.
So Savern's turn.
All right. So dating faux pas. Dear Knockcasters. With dating being a subject that has weighed on my mind recently, I've been trying to sort out some simple do's and don'ts in my head in order to ensure that I behave like a gentleman when taking someone out or showing someone a good time. This inevitably led me, as many things do, to consider some comedic faux pas which could occur on dates which I might wish to write stories about. I do, however, believe there's more serious side to that, though, and therein lies my question to you guys. What are some of the biggest dating faux pas that you've either had done to you, done to others, or indeed simply heard about? Obviously, I'm not talking about slipping your date a roofie or anything truly illegal or immoral, just things that tend to make a date dive bomb, which a guy or girl who hasn't dated that much might want to look out for. Also, I'd like to say that I only recently came across your glorious podcast, and I'm still, in fact, working my way through the 2009 episodes with doorknobs and Snaredragon references aplenty. From what I've heard thus far, though, I love it, and I'm sure when I've caught up fully, I'll be eagerly tuning into each and every new show. Ever enthusiastic, Jeeves the Roo from Scotland. I've seen your stories on Forfinity. I know that name.
Yeah, I know that name, too. I did not know that he was in Scotland. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. Wasn't he, like, a guest at, like, ScotiaCon or something like that?
I'm not sure. Maybe. Yeah.
Dating faux pas.
I'm also familiar. I think he's in one of... This is so bad. Because I don't do the hands-on editing with some of our anthologies, but... I was going to say, I think he's in one of our anthologies, but no, he is. He has a story in, I think he has two stories in Holidays, if I recall correctly. And that was a book that that Tieran mostly handled the editor-in-chief on, and Ajax did the editorial thing, so I haven't read that one yet.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's actually got two stories in one of our anthologies. That's also how I know his name. And I've also heard him mentioned, I think, on like the Bat Dog Book Club. He may have had a story on there as well.
That's I just see he's like really prolific, and I see his icon all the time.
Yeah. Okay, so on to the question. I can't really recall any dating faux pas I've done personally, because I've had a really weird non-traditional dating life. You know, like I
you know, don't have a date at a coffee house with the person you're dating is raised Mormon.
Why not?
They
don't drink coffee.
Oh.
Or anything with caffeine.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that about Mormons.
One of the wackier bits. Not really.
What's the religion? Is it Jehovah's Witness that don't believe in celebrating birthdays?
Yes.
Because, like, at work, my old job, we did the birthday thing, and there was always this one guy that he would never donate money to somebody else's group birthday thing, like when we're getting a boss a birthday gift and stuff like that. And I always thought it was odd. And then somebody later told me it was a religious thing, but nobody ever explained why.
Yeah. Yeah. They're a bunch of joyless fucks. Screw them.
Okay, thank you for that enlightening reasoning. I'd be curious what the actual philosophical reason is for that. But I was trying to think. My little train, my little engine that couldn't, get derailed just now?
So dating faux pas.
Yes. I was explaining, I've had a weird dating life because of the whole, I dated a couple people in high school, couple girls in high school, and then I had long-distance boyfriends, and I had one local boyfriend, but it wasn't, I never really feel like I've had a traditional date kind of situation. You know, I guess Tieran and I do, and that we go out to dinner together sometimes and everything like that. But
y'all are together.
We haven't done that whole, courting thing, I guess, you know?
Well, see, like, when Panther and I were dating, we got to know each other first over the internet for, like, we had, like, a 3-week online thing. Mm-hmm. Then we met, then we started dating, and then we, like, dated for, like, a year and a half, and then we've been together, and here we are, nearly 8 years later. 7.5, anyways.
Go ahead.
But it's one of those things where it's, like, we knew where we were coming from, and we knew what not to, like, talk about. So we kind of had all of our cards on the table. But, like, faux pas, you know, it's like talking religion or politics. Don't do that. You know,
I'm amused by the subject line of the spam I just got. Coxzilla, in all caps. Coxzilla is the word.
Good to know.
So now we know that's the secret word this episode. You probably had a few landmines to step on, I would imagine.
But it was one of those things that I knew ahead of time to avoid, you know, because I had gotten to know him before we started dating.
Right. And that, the whole, you know, there was some article I read not too long ago talking about how people tend to meet more online these days than in the traditional, quote-unquote, kind of ways.
Well, yeah. I mean, it makes it, it's a real, like, low-risk
thing. So that totally changes how the younger generations of people date.
You know, it's oh, yeah, okay, can I see your Facebook? Oh, here it is. And you can look at their Facebook and see
their interests.
Their interests and what they're into and what they're not into. And
what they already don't like.
You know, do you have a Wix? Yeah. So I think that most people nowadays wouldn't even know what that is.
I do.
Because
we're nerds.
And we're old.
And we're old.
Yeah.
I was never even on the Mux.
I just thought it was an interesting concept.
Yeah. Nowadays, people have an F-list, apparently.
That's what it is?
So I'm told. Well, I mean, F-list is, I think it's a website that lists all your kinks and crap.
Kind of. It's kind of like the old style Wix.
That's but a on third a or fourth date kind of information dump. Yeah.
And when I say dump, that's when I'm going to introduce that particular. No, I'm kidding.
See,
where's this toilet lid?
Most of my partnerships have been first met them online, got to be friends, evolved into more. Haven't really had a lot of traditional dates. I mean, there was like one guy when I was real young. It was workmate, and we were closer to just fuck buddies. And the only faux pas that really happened there was we'd gone to the movies, gone back to his place to have fun, and decided to get a little bit kinky. And we'd heard about, playing with chocolate syrup. So we started to do that, and we didn't realize the effect that body heat had on that.
I think you've told this story.
And the fact that it was, put it on, body heat, and it's just, oh my god, it's everywhere. Hold still, I need to go get paper towels and, oh shit, more sponge. And ended up having to wash his sheets because it went a lot further, a lot faster than I anticipated. And, oh my god, needed a shower. Other than that, I mean, I haven't had a lot of traditional dating. I mean, the closest I came was recently, and even that, we were good friends first. So I haven't had a lot of faux pas. So, I don't know. Can't think of any horror stories I've heard.
Fuck. When we started reading this email, I had one in my head
that did was it run like. Away?
It kind of did. Give me a second. I'm trying to think. There was some thing that was like, well, we had a great faux pas earlier. It wasn't a dating, but you know, you never call a chick fat.
Yeah.
God, there was something. Oh, yeah, I remember. I've heard of people doing this, and we've had emails before where people complaining about their other part,
person previous or seeing relationship
doing this. Yeah, you don't keep bringing up the ex. You know.
You know, my other ex, she didn't bother using a knife at the table. She just picked the steak up with her hands and chewed into it.
Yeah, don't bring up exes.
You know, if I'm on a date with you, I want to hear about you, not the person that you used to be with. So, you know, when the person is just talking about, I miss my ex, I miss me. And, you know, it might be a really, there's a fucking really good story about this in that Holidays anthology that you should totally buy. But, A Day to Dead by White Yote. It's about a dude dating another dude whose longtime partner died in a car wreck.
Mm.
And he is still coming to grips with this. He's still mourning. And the new guy, the new boyfriend, and they've been together like a year, is having to deal with the fact that, like, I want to be with him and I need to support him and help him through this, but it feels like I'm fighting for his attention with this ghost of his boyfriend.
There's ghost sex, right?
No, there's no ghost sex. It's actually a very touching story. There is sex, but no ghost sex. And it's Day to Dead because he's Hispanic and they celebrate the Dia de los Muertos. You know, Day to Dead. That's kind of an example of that. Yeah.
The day of the day.
But yeah, your dead wife, the person that you broke up with, don't bring that up.
You know, my ex kept asking me the same question over and over, and I really got to ask you, does this smell like chloroform to you?
No!
It's nap time! I can't think of anything else really amusing, you know? Not that it wouldn't be like out of Meet the Parents or something like that, you know? It was just wacky. I guess we've been kind of lucky. We've grown up in this. I mean, and by we, I mean the three of us, not the royal we, because I rule. The three of us have grown up in this, like, internet age where, you know, kind of have a little bit of a jump on things when it comes to meeting new people that could potentially be someone we'd be dating.
Yeah.
So, you read that one, Severn?
Yeah.
I'm really losing track of people tonight. So it's Shiva's turn, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I think this one's in reply to something last week, because it doesn't sound familiar to me. Subject, DS situation. Hey there, guys. It's Wolfie Man here, writing into Kibitz again. I wanted to comment on the email about the apparently unhealthy DS relationship that's going on and provide another line of advice for dealing with D and S. I know that everybody on the show has their own view on these type of relationships, and I agree that you're right. Even if S is willing in a 24/7 sugar daddy relationship where he's earning the cash turning tricks, eek, that sounds incredibly unhealthy. What they shouldn't do, however, is act unilaterally without more information. While Savern might have commented that the idea of poaching a sub is ridiculous on the face of it, take the DS out of the relationship and think about it regarding boyfriends. If someone came around and tried to break up a live-in couple because they thought something wasn't healthy, say Savern and Panther because of all the doorknobs, I'd say that typically the guy who's at risk of losing his boyfriend would have the right to be upset that somebody's coming in and apparently trying to break up his relationship. However, there probably is a legitimate issue here, so something has to be done. I'd recommend the following. In addition to talking with S and trying to get more information, they ought to confer with a local kink scene and see if anybody knows the two of them. If they do, they might be able to lend some context to the relationship. Is S a con man? The locals probably have some idea about it. Is D an abusive dom? Again, the local kinksters probably know. If none of the local kinksters know them, then it could actually be a point of concern right there. since an abusive dom will usually try to corner their sub off on his own, and so he can't have a support network. Either way, that will both provide more information and potentially provide the writer with some moral support should they try breaking me up and rescuing S. On a happier note, a friend of mine is trying to get funding for a band's 8th independent album through a Kickstarter campaign. I'm trying to get permission to send over a sample of their music, but they're sort of a metal punk band that really deserves some more attention. If you guys would be interested in playing a sample, it might help me convince them a bit more quickly. They're not really furry, but I think they've got an appropriately not Castian sense of humor in some of their lyrics. If you'd like to look them up on their own, they go by the name Die Monster Die, and most of their albums were available to listen to on Spotify and or YouTube. I recommend Laika, the Russian space dog, will have her revenge, myself, or possibly Priest and a Zombie, Rent a Fishing Boat as friends. Howlingly yours, the Wolfie Man.
Cool. That is some further stuff to be considered in this dom sub relationship.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first part, though, we pretty much said that as far as getting more information out of them and just, I don't know. I mean, they're not Columbo here. You know, now we're talking to the local kinksters and interviewing Mrs. Jones at the market that might know them. And I don't know. It just seems a little out there to me. You know, most people that have a halfway decent sense of bullshit should be able to tell what's going on just by spending a little more time around them. I mean, it just seems like a really broad net to cast. And I kind of disagree with the part about, we'll talk to the local kinksters and see if they know them. And then if they know them, assume this. And then if they don't know them, then assume this other thing that's totally the opposite. And it just seems kind of dubious to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just kind of needs more information. And I don't know about necessarily talking to the kinkster scheme, but I don't know.
That just seems like, you know, we're going to drag completely unrelated people into this situation now, you know? And how much of their dirty laundry do you really want to air?
Yeah.
You know? It's like, part of this is also having some respect for the individual people, even if they may eventually break up because of this. But, you know, I would still err on the side of getting to know the couple better and spending some one-on-one time with, you know, who may be the victim in this case and trying to get a real cemented idea of what the hell's going on. But anyway, that's just my take on it. So you read that one.
Me. Your turn.
My turn. Okay. God, I really cannot keep this straight in my brain tonight. Okay, let's see what we got here. Probably shouldn't read all of these. We got 4 left, and it's already 11:20. How are we on time, Savern?
We are at 1:42.
So we can do, like, 2 more.
Read the bottom 2, then, because they've been in the email bin a little while.
Okay. All right.
We've got 4 emails, and 2 of them are going to have to chill.
All right. We could just mark them unread and hold them over for the next showdown. Yep. Okay. Hello, Notcasters. I apologize in advance for my spelling and grammar. Well, it says and wall of text, but it's not really. I'm sorry if this is off topic, but I really need some help. I live in Utah, and I am the only gay guy in my town that's not had sex with everything that moves. Wish I was joking, but I've seen them, and they're all like that. But I don't really have any friends. They all moved away to college. And trying to talk to my parents is like talking to a wall, but I need some dating advice. I've been dumped, cheated on, and just up and had my boyfriend leave, never to be seen again, 9 times now. And it's only been 2 years since I've been gay and found the furry fandom, but every ex of mine has hurt me. My first boyfriend only dated me, and these are his words, I'm only dating you as a friend, so don't kill yourself.
So you don't kill yourself.
So you don't kill yourself. Wow, okay, yeah, I missed a U there. Wow, okay. To my face and thought nothing of it. Why would you say something like that if you were trying to stop someone from killing themselves? Okay, he seems like an idiot, but anyway. We talk about it a week later and just sit there smiling as I told him he really hurt me. He said he was sorry, and I told him to get out. Also, I thought I might mention I had no intention of killing myself. Okay, it says I had to intention of killing myself. He did say no. I'm not actually sure.
I think it's like I had no intention of killing myself if he had said no. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay, I don't really know. My second ex was online, and I don't remember very well from what happened with my first, and that my family was gone for 3 months other than the time they was home sleeping, so no one to help me through my first breakup. So I just
thought dating again
would be okay after I was wrong. After being alone for 3 months, it's really weird. Sorry, I got a ringing in my ears there. It's really messing with me. Okay. I'm such an old man. Sorry.
It is past your bedtime.
Shut up. After being alone 3 months, I went to my mom when I was able to, crying to her, telling her I was going to kill myself. Fast forward to my eighth ex, also online. We dated for a year. When last month we was together, we was able to meet in person. He dumped me after 2 weeks of being with me for reals, said I was too clingy for him. Maybe I am. Never had a guy to care enough about me to try. But I'm not sure if I'm just overreacting or what, but it's been at least a year since we broke up. We talk here and there still, but I just found he dating two guys at the same time. So now I feel like shit, and I don't know what to do, and I'm starting to cry. I gave a place to stay when I was with him, bought him food with my parents' money, and I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I try so hard. I don't push too hard. I let my mate have his space and everything. I talk to them when I can. I play games with them. I treat them like they're a best friend but can have sex with. But what am I doing wrong? Again, I'm sorry for the wall of text. Sincerely, Wolfie Buffs. Okay. I think you're trying too hard.
Mm.
I mean, I couldn't
quite... It sounds like you're just burning through your boyfriends.
I mean, I couldn't tell how long you've been dating in general, but you've been through 9 boyfriends already? That's a lot. And in some cases, you're like 2 or 3 months between them. That's really not very much time at all. I think you need to slow down and not consider everybody you talk to be your boyfriend. I mean, it sounds like a dick, but that's kind of what it feels like from reading this. You know, and we fast forwarded from 2 to 8, but you're saying a lot of these were online. They weren't really boyfriends then.
No. Yeah.
I mean, I'm casting a broad net here, you know, because we say what's a real boyfriend, what's a real relationship, etc. But you're talking about some of these must have been only weeks or months long and went through multiple of them in what appears to be a very short period of time. Those don't sound like real relationships. Those sound like a fling or a crush. And I'm sure it feels really real, but I think you're investing way too much of yourself in some of these relationships, and that you're taking them a hell of a lot more seriously than the people you're dating are. I actually think what would be good for you is just a time out from dating at all. Just say, nope, I'm gonna make some friends, I'm gonna form some healthy friendships, and not, you know, lean on people too much, not crush on them or try to get a commitment or anything like that. And, you know, at least 6 to 12 months, preferably a year, just don't date anybody. And I think you need some time to grow and mature as a person yourself. And, you know, you have to love yourself first before you can expect anybody else to love you. That's something that I think we've all repeated on this show before. And if you're really crying and talking about killing yourself, then your mom really should have got you in therapy right then and there, for one thing. But you're clearly not having a lot of love for yourself right now, and that's a problem.
I think you need someone that you need to talk out a lot of these emotions and thoughts with. And if talking to your parents is like talking to a wall, and you don't want to talk to anybody locally because they're all sluts, in your opinion, and you're burning through boyfriends like Kim Kardashian, then you need to talk to a counselor. You know, you need to talk to someone that you're not emotionally involved with, an impartial third party who can give you an unbiased opinion of your situation. So that's my two cents.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much it. It sounds like you need to slow down and yeah. Just take a deep breath and
don't
go for friends rather than boyfriends.
Yeah.
Just take what Fuzz said to heart. Cause that's pretty much the way to go. So last email of the night.
Okay.
Friends with benefits advice. Hey, Knockass, listened to your episode about friends with benefits, and I wanted to know if you could give me some serious advice on the subject. Skipping the obligatory wall of text when it's not line. There's this guy, let's call him Chad. I'd like us to hear it stand on Chad is not his real name. Chad. And I like each other and almost live right next door to each other.
You know, well, they say no man is an island, but Chad is.
Well, Chad is actually like a shitty African desert country.
Well, it's an island.
No, it's no. not.
Isn't it?
No.
Then my joke is completely incorrect. I retract
it's like,
that.
Isn't it in the middle?
Not only is it not an island, it's landlocked in the middle of the fucking country.
I'm sorry. I'm going to go kill myself.
Oh. You said geography wasn't your strong
point. Oh, shut up, you. I'm sorry. I don't know geography. I'm going to hurt you with these quartz crystals now.
Moon rocks.
I'm going to throw some moon rocks and some pyrite at you.
Anyways. Now that we're getting back to the email.
I can't believe Saverin stopped what he was doing to look up Chad on Google Maps.
It's kind of a big country. It's hard to miss.
Fuck you.
It's in the middle of Africa.
That's some commitment to proving me wrong.
Anyways.
That's just because of the balls in his ass joke earlier.
He's getting me back. He's down there blessing the rains down in Africa.
Well, now we've both made it clear that neither of us is interested in a relationship with the other. However, he wants to be friends with benefits. I'm a virgin, though, and have told him this, and that for my first time, I want to be with someone I'm in love with. He, on the other hand, insists that oral sex won't cause me to lose my virginity. Even though my definition of sex is any action you get an STD from, not including the one that happens when kissing, or is that just mono? No, you can share herpes that way, too. Just so you know. Anyways, I'd like to know what you Knockcasters have to say and advice for me. I currently have no mate, though I've met an Arcanine online who simply set my heart up. Problem is, he lives on the other side of America in Kansas while I live in here in New Mexico. Other side of the mountains, dude. Every time I think about having sex with Chad and being friends with benefits, I'm turned on. Arcanine and I want to be mates pretty soon after he deals some pretty deep crap with his parents, and I don't want to get into right now. I'm scared to come friends with benefits with Chad, though, because Arcanine and I truly love each other, and I don't want to make him feel like I'm too shallow and wait to move over to be near him. Lying's not an option. I haven't lied yet to Arcanine, and because Arcanine and I truly love each other, wait, I went
rapid to lying. Do not intend to.
I haven't lied yet to Arcanine and do not intend to. It looped around. I kept saying Arcanine.
Pokemons. You sound like a Arcanine.
Fireball.
And I definitely
so you thought you were a Fennec, but really we were wrong this entire time.
He's actually an Arcanine. He'll evolve into a Fennec.
I'm an Eevee. Oh god, I'm a Flareon. No. Anyways, and I definitely wouldn't keep a secret from Arcanine because it feels and seems wrong. I want you not cast with advice. Should I become friends with benefits? Should I continue to try and convince him that I want to save my first time for someone I'm in love with? I'm honestly lost here and don't know what I should do because I feel like I lose either way. Also, Arcanine are already mates, but he had to break up because his parents and their ability to be dicks. When he first broke up, I felt like my heart was shattered again, but the next day everything was fine because I realized he still wanted to be mates. I was worried he might yell at me or snap me because we both like to know what's going on in each other's lives. Sincerely, furry, Zach Buziel. Zach Buziel?
Okay.
It's a Pokemon.
He said I shattered his dreams.
Of having it passed, right?
Buziel?
You're a little fucking anime fag, Saverin. You don't know...
I don't watch Pokemon. It's not Pokemon.
This Pokemon wasn't in the show when I watched the Pokemans.
At least Arcanine's in the first, in the original 151.
Right, yeah. Fucking OG. Original, old OG Pokemans. So the answers to your question are yes, no, yes, and only on a Tuesday. Mm-mm-mm. Okay, so I want to answer this question seriously. Serious face. Okay. So, first of all, don't let this guy pressure you into having sex. You know, if you want your first time to be with someone that you're in love with, that's fine, that's cool, there's nothing wrong with that. Don't let this guy talk you into doing him or letting him do you just because he's horny. Whenever you feel yourself giving in to the temptation to just sleep with him because it really turns you on, I am serious about this, I am not joking, go and jerk off. Whenever I am thinking with my dick, as men often do, and start thinking it would be really, really hot if I did X, after I come, those thoughts go away. Because that is a hot fantasy thought, and it is not something that would be beneficial to me in real life. Just saying as a hypothetical here. So... you can fantasize about that, jerk off, and then your brain will be clear again. Because raging hormones and all that, which will affect a male from the age of 8 to 80. As far as the other thing I would point out is that if you're mates and then you weren't mates and now you are mates again, you sound pretty young. There's... all distance between you. I mean, you're both living at home, or at least he's living at home. Depending on the probability of you guys actually getting together in real life, I would not necessarily hold that candle forever for this other guy in New Mexico. He's in New Mexico, in Kansas, excuse me. Because, I mean, if it's like, I'm not going to sleep with anyone for 5 years because I'm going to get together with this guy in Kansas, that's a little unrealistic. I don't know what your timeline is here, how old you are, what both of y'all's means are to be able to get to the other state and visit each other or spend any time together, but... you know, depending on what that is, you really need to evaluate for yourself. Are we ever going to be together? Is this possible? Are we going to be together in a time frame where I can wait and put my love life on hold to be with this person? Or are you better off dating locally? You know, and I don't know much about the other guy that's hitting on you locally. I know right now I'm kind of disinclined to feel positively towards him because he seems like he's coming on really strong and trying to push you into sex, which is not a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he might have more layers than that to him. I'm not sure. But you might find somebody else local that isn't a shit that you develop feelings for. So it's kind of more advice than you asked for on a couple of fronts there, but it's just my point of view.
So, you guys?
No, I think you pretty much hit all of it.
Yeah, that's...
Okay. Very succinctly.
You know, it seemed very young.
Yeah, I got the feeling... There's no ages mentioned in the email, but I got the feeling.
That at least the one in Kansas is pretty young.
Well, I mean, they're living at home, so they may very well be. If they're dealing with parental drama, they could be. It's hard to say. But, so, let's go ahead and mark these two remainders as unread, and we can pick them up next week. So next week will be episode 184. I had a topic idea. Okay, so, Saverin, do you already have a topic idea, or do you mind if I...
No, shoot.
Okay. Next week's topic is hiding your power level. Mm-hmm. This is a term that Saverin introduced to me, which, just Google hiding your power level, you'll find a definition of it. It basically means when you're a geek, when you're into some fandom in a major way, and you kind of need to know when and where is an appropriate time and place to discuss that. Like, so-and-so mentioned Pokemon at work, and this is just a theoretical, and I just acted like I didn't really know any more about it than he did, because I didn't want to seem like a huge nerd, even though I have Pokemon fucking everything forever in my apartment. That's hiding your true power level.
Playing dumb.
Playing dumb.
Not even that.
But it's also more a sense of appropriateness, a sense of propriety. This idea for this topic kind of came out of a Twitter conversation I was having, because me in particular, and you guys to some degree, have been kind of negative leaning, warning on doing things like wearing a tail in public, going suiting in public in certain situations, and so forth, and just kind of, and I've just sort of taken a stance of, be normal, damn it! You know, it's the people that think it's perfectly acceptable to go to a fancy restaurant wearing ears and a tail, and when is that acceptable? When is it not acceptable? This opens up a big can of worms, because everyone has a different opinion on this. But there's, in general, most people have a kind of feeling from growing up in the world of what is acceptable and when. And I think that's a discussion that we really should have, particularly in light of the recent drama of the people in suit fucking on a car at the New Jersey Furbecue, which I'm not sure if we mentioned that recent drama.
I thought it happened between last week and today.
Okay, yeah. See, that was inappropriate. And I think most people could agree that that was inappropriate, but clearly those two people thought it was a great fucking idea at the time. That's the idea. And hopefully Saverin can boil that down to some succinct paragraph that makes sense.
But I'll do my best.
Hiding your true power level. That is our topic next week. So you can find us on, for Affinity, LiveJournal, and Twitter under Notcast. Email us, notcast@foxduffers.com. Next week, we will be recording on Thursday instead of Friday. So get your emails in by Thursday by about 8 Central Daylight Time.
Yep.
You can also find our IRC on irc.anthrochat.net. It's #notcast. It's a registered nick channel to keep out spammers and shit. So register your nick and sign in there. Saverin, I think, is still in there frequently, right?
Yeah. Same with Panther and quite a few other people. It's not the most active channel, honestly, because, I mean, well, it's kind of a back patty channel. But it's fun to chat if you want to come and say hi. We're usually in there and around most of the time.
I'm usually not, but if you say something to those guys and they want them to pass along to me, I'm sure they will. You know, yeah. I don't think Shiva like, does the
earth. You won't believe what this dude in the IRC said. Not often. He told you to go suck a fuck. No.
lots of people told me to go suck a fuck. But
all that.
Anyway, also throwing this out there for the crossover audience, we always ask for con reports after a major furry convention. For those of our listeners who are also bronies, if you're going to BronyCon this weekend, which is expected to be like 4,000 fucking people in New Jersey, you know, if you go to the con, write into the show and let us know how it went. Because, you know, it's kind of a, there's a big crossover between furries and bronies. There's a lot of common interest there, and I'm just curious how it went.
Yep. Tell us how it really goes.
Yeah, give us the dirty down low.
The nitty gritty man on the street.
All the clop thick. Oh, or, well, not really, but you know what I mean. So, are we done, guys? Anybody else get anything to throw out there? Okay, cool. So, on that note,
good night.
And big balls.